for track and field, both boys and girls. And Voorhees is going to be there as well. And on the 4th, more track and field, same information, 10 and 11 boys, track and field. Voorhees at North Burlington Regional at 11 a.m. Central is going to be at Egg Harbor Township and High School. The rest of the playoffs, I guess, pending what's going to happen today. So there you have it. Those are our calendars for our 5 regional high schools. You got some big playoff games going on today at 4 o'clock. Softball and baseball happening at Del Valle, happening at Harmony Central. Check them out with the weather. And so we move on to talk about the Patriots and the Thunder. And they played during the weekend. Let's see what happened over the weekend for the Patriots. The Patriots were sliding a bit. We needed some well-earned victories. Let's see what's happening. And Patriots faced the York Revolution. And unfortunately, the York Revolution took 3 out of 4. On the 27th, the York Revolution defeated the Patriots 7-5. On Saturday, the Patriots took back a game 7-6. Then the York Revolution defeated the Patriots 5-2 on Sunday and 6-5 on Monday in 13 innings. So that's tightening up the schedule, standings mightily. The Patriots are now off to face the Southern Maryland Blue Crabs. Fortunately, the Blue Crabs, not a pushover, but certainly not as dominant as the York Revolution or the Sugarland Skeeters. The Patriots will be at Southern Maryland for 3 games today, tomorrow, both 7:05, and a 12:05 start on the 2nd. Patriots will be back to visit and host the Bridgeport Bluefish at 7:05 on Friday, Saturday, and a 1:05 start on Sunday. We have cooler bags and scout night on Friday, fireworks on Saturday, and t-shirts, Jimmy Buffett Day, Project ALS Day, Motorcycle Day, and Girl Scouts Day, all happening on Sunday. The Patriots will be off on next Monday, and then away stand at New Britain Bees for 3 games, and then Lancaster Barnstormers for 4. So Patriots won't be back until Flag Day, the 14th. So with that in mind, let's see how the standings are shaping up. That was not good. Patriots could be falling into a competitive situation. In fact, they are. They are one and a half games behind the Long Island Ducks now. The Patriots have a 21-17 record. Nothing to sneeze at. But the Long Island Ducks have a 22-15 record. So the slide by the Patriots has significantly reduced their position. They are now in second place. And the New Britain Bees are right behind them with an 18-19 record. So the Bridgeport Bluefish doing not so good, 13-24. So between the Maryland Blue Crabs, who have a 13-24 record, and the Bridgeport Bluefish, who have a 13-24 record, we're hoping that the Patriots can climb back up from where they were. So it's important that they dominate those series, if not sweep them. That would be significant. We move on to the Thunder. The Thunder faced Binghamton over the weekend. On Friday, Binghamton took the first game, 6-3, but the Thunder defeated Binghamton 6-3 on Saturday, 2-0 on Sunday, and 9-2 on Monday. So that's the way to do it. The Thunder are off now for today, and they will be back on the schedule starting tomorrow. Hartford, 2 games, a doubleheader at Hartford, and then a 3rd game on Thursday. The Thunder will be back to host Erie for 4 games in 3 days. with a doubleheader on Saturday. The promotion's going on during that week. We have Scout Sleepover and Rally Tower Towels on Friday. On Saturday, we have post-game fireworks. And on Sunday, we have Fielding Glove giveaway and Sunrun Sundays. The Thunder will then be off on Monday and then away all the way through the 13th with a three-game stint in Binghamton and a four-game stint in Erie. So it's going to be quiet out there for the next couple of days after this week. So how does that fare for the Thunder? How are they doing at this point? Let's check out. They're doing quite well. It's just a matter of how much better everybody else is doing. The Thunder have a 29-20 record. Not bad. They are three games out of first place, one game out of second place. The Hartford Yard Goats are just ahead of them by one game, and the Reading Fighting Phils are in first place in the Eastern League Eastern Division. Looking at the Eastern League Western Division, the Akron Rubber Ducks are a dominant team with 35-15 record. The Altoona Curve are 6.5 games out of first place in second place. That's how dominant Akron is.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is not a fan of a potential independent presidential candidate looking to run against Donald Trump.
Well, that could only help elect Hillary Clinton. And I think after 8 years of Barack Obama, the last thing the country needs is four more years, just like the last eight.
McConnell on Fox and Friends saying Trump won the GOP nomination the good old-fashioned way by getting more votes than anyone else. A Senate panel says an independent investigation into claims that a Wisconsin VA hospital was overprescribing addictive painkillers was flawed and didn't address serious problems. The Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee holding a hearing today on the results of that report. Severe weather just will not leave the central United States alone. Twisters spinning their way through parts of Nebraska and Colorado as driving rain creates dangerous floods, including in already soggy Texas. This is USA Radio News. Get breaking news on the web at usaradio.com.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Animal activists are upset over the Cincinnati Zoo's decision to kill a gorilla that came into contact with a boy who fell into his exhibit over the weekend. More than 100,000 people signing an online petition calling for a law with penalties for zoo visitors whose negligence leads to the death of an endangered animal. A Republican apologizes to the apparent GOP presidential nominee. USA Radio's Chris Barnes has more from Washington.
Florida Senator Marco Rubio and a former presidential candidate making amends with Donald Trump, telling CNN that he expresses some regret about remarks he had previously made about Trump's appearance and his small hands.
I apologize to him for that. I said, you know, I'm sorry that I said that. It's not who I am, and I shouldn't have done it.
Rubio saying the attacks in the run-up to Super Tuesday embarrassed his family as well. But he also says in the interview he has no interest in being Trump's vice presidential running mate. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
You can get breaking news on the web at usaradio.com.
I'm Sean Hare, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. ConservativeTribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At ConservativeTribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit ConservativeTribune.com. That's ConservativeTribune.com.
The Bernie Sanders campaign praises the Secret Service for its handling of what could have been a scary situation in Oakland. We get details from USA Radio's Anthony Lucero.
CNN reports that a Sanders spokesman says Secret Service agents acted professionally when at least four people rushed the stage during an event on Monday. Agents swarmed Sanders, with one wrapping him around the Vermont senator. The people were detained and removed from the rally. Sanders continued with the event, telling the crowd,
"We don't get intimidated easily."
I'm Anthony Lucero.
Starbucks introducing coffee infused with nitrogen. Nitrogen-infused coffee has been around for a few years, and now Starbucks is going to have it on tap. The new product should be available in about 500 stores by the end of summer. Officials are trying to capture dozens of tigers at a Buddhist temple in Thailand. USA Radio's Tammy Rose reports.
The so-called Tiger Temple west of Bangkok is popular with tourists who are allowed to walk freely among the tigers. Authorities say they were concerned about treatment of the tigers and complaints from tourists saying they had been attacked. Officials first arrived Monday to remove the tigers. They say the temple wouldn't let them in, and monks appeared to have set some of the tigers free to hamper their efforts. Wildlife officers eventually got in and sedated eight tigers. Efforts to capture the rest are part of a mission to relocate the tigers to a compound.
And Donald Trump expected to reveal which veterans organizations will receive money he raised in January. The event reportedly raising about $6 million. This is USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Good morning, this is Tony Clark, and this is Some Things About Money. It's 11:12 a.m. on Tuesday, May 31st. It's currently 82 degrees. Today's weather is sunny with a high near 86, north wind 3 to 6 miles per hour, and tonight mostly clear with a low around 59, calm wind becoming north around 6 miles per hour after midnight. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 80, northeast wind around 7 miles per hour, and Wednesday night partly cloudy with a low around 57. Thursday more partly sunny with a high near 76, and Thursday evening a low around 59. Come Friday we'll have some showers, chance of showers about 50%, cloudy with a high near 75 degrees. We'll be back in a moment with Joe Patton for Some Things About Money.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones. hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And we're back. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner with Patton, Heidi, and Associates. And you are listening to Some Things About Money. Well, I hope all of you had a fabulous Memorial weekend. The weather was great for the most part. People had parties. We opened our pool and had our first actual party event at our clubhouse at Morgan Hill, and that was a good time had by all. I got a chance to meet so many of my neighbors, many of them new, I guess taking advantage of what's happening with property values and low mortgage rates. I mean, today we had the Case-Shiller U.S. home price numbers come out, and prices rose 5.4% in March. That was rather interesting, and, you know, that just shows us that U.S. home price appreciation has remained strong, especially for March. And that met consensus estimates and really matched the previous month's year-over-year gains. Now, the Case-Shiller 20-City Composite Home Price Index did rise 5.4% in March from the same month last year, in line with expectations. We had some consumer spending numbers. The U.S. consumer spending, recorded its biggest increase in more than 6 years in April. And inflation did rise steadily, more signs of an accelerating economic growth that could persuade the Fed to raise interest rates again as early as June. Now, the Commerce Department said today consumer spending, which accounts for more than two-thirds of the U.S. economic activity, surged 1% last month as households bought automobiles and a range of other goods and services. Consumer spending in March was revised down to show it being flat instead of previously reported at a 0.1% gain. With all of this good news, we take a look at what's been going on in the U.S. markets, and I guess good news is considered bad news because, you know, looking at spending and real estate and some decent inflation numbers, the Fed may be convinced to raise rates in June as opposed to waiting until next month in July. Right now, we're looking at the Dow Jones Industrial Average being down 74.89, 0.4% to 17,798. The S&P 500 is down 0.14% to 2,096. And the NASDAQ, that's down a little bit over 5 points to 4,939. Over in Europe, well, you know, stocks looking lower as investors are looking to the Fed, the ECB, and, well, with that, the banks are sliding. The FTSE, well, it's down 24 and a quarter to 6,246. The DAX down over 78 points to 10,254. And the CAC in France down 27.63. Oil? Well, oil happens to be green today. Not by much, up 53 cents a barrel to $49.86. Gold continues to slide, but it has gained a little bit back from where it was earlier today. But gold still set for the biggest decline in 6 months, currently down $1.10 an ounce to $12.1560. Treasuries are lower amid this huge data dump expected. We're looking at the 10-year Treasury yield currently up to 1.8528%. So that kind of gets us caught up on what's happening in the market this morning, Tony. How was your Memorial weekend?
I had a good time. Yeah. The weather was really good. I thought it was going to rain, but the kids got to play in the water.
Up at the lake, having a good time. Plenty of mosquito repellent.
Oh, yeah.
Any fishing going on?
A lot of bites. No fishing.
No fishing. Just kind of riding the bikes and hanging out and relaxing and a good time had by all. Well, that's what it's about. I did take in a Memorial weekend ceremony at the Pavilion in Bradley Beach, remembering those who are no longer with us, who paid the ultimate price for our freedom here in this country. And that's really the purpose of Memorial Day, to recognize those great heroes and the efforts that they put in that allows us to have the freedoms that we enjoy today. Let's see here. Morning market overview. I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, but first we'll talk about what we're going to talk about. And so we have some research notes about what's been going on over the last week and some of the economic data and how it may affect us. We'll talk a little bit about Asia and Europe. And later on in the show, I think people are starting to wonder, because you're hearing it more and more on Bloomberg and CNBC and some of the other business outlets, what happens the day after Brexit, assuming that that actually occurs. And we'll talk about some what-ifs to get an idea of some of the things that we may be wanting to pay attention to so we don't get slammed, or maybe we could actually take advantage of it from an investment point of view. So we will be right back after our first break.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hidine Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hidine Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hidine Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Okay, we're back. This is Some Things About Money. Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, Patton Hidine Associates. And if you have an idea for a topic, or if you would like a second opinion on your retirement planning or anything else financial, give us a call at 908-713-6600. Again, we are located at 1318 Route 31 North in the beautiful Gebhardt and Kiefer Law Building. So we look forward to having the ability to give you some guidance and maybe a cup of coffee or a glass of water and some really good conversation about you. U.S. equities, well, they enjoyed the strongest week since early March, climbing 2.3% despite growing acceptance of that second rate hike from the Federal Reserve coming soon to a theater near you. Chair Yellen did nothing to dispel that notion in public remarks on Friday, when many investors, no doubt, had one foot out the door ahead of that long holiday weekend. Stocks, nevertheless, ended the session and the week on a positive note. Financial stocks once again contributed to the rally, climbing 2.6%. Banks, in particular, rose 3.2%. Since the markets later on February 11th, the KBW Bank Index has surged by 26%, easily outpacing the broader market's 15% advance. Overall, the financial sector has fought its way back to even for the year after having been down as much as 18% in February. As strong as financials were last week, they were nevertheless eclipsed by technology stocks, which rose 3.2%, helped by a 5.4% rise in Apple. On the other hand, energy stocks, well, they failed to keep pace with the overall market, raising themselves about 1.5%, despite oil briefly rising above $50 a barrel on Thursday, and that was for the first time since last November. The dollar, well, it rose only modestly last week after climbing steadily throughout most of the month. That was welcome news for Japan, where stocks rose for the third straight week as the yen continued to back off from its recent strength, and rumors surfaced that a pending sales tax increase would be postponed. Eurozone equity spiked by 4%, also helped by the weaker euro. Emerging market stocks, well, they also enjoyed a strong week, climbing 2.7%, led by strength in Asia, China in particular, as commodity-heavy Latin America, well, they did lag again. There was little movement in the Treasury curve last week as the two-year note fell 2 basis points to a yield of 0.87%, and the 10-year rose 1 basis point to 1.85%. Not surprising, as expectations regarding the next rate hike rose only slightly. The odds of a June increase climbed to 30% from 28% the previous week, while the odds of a July rate hike rose from 48% to better than an even 54%. Now, the sensitivity of the curve will be tested this week as the economic calendar is full of market-moving reports. Topping the list is the May employment report on Friday. The April report showed the addition of 160,000 jobs, which was well below the 203,000 monthly average in the first 3 months of this year, raising speculation that the labor market strength was beginning to slow. The consensus estimate this time, according to Bloomberg, is once again 160,000 new jobs, although some private estimates range significantly higher. As always, the growth in wages will be watched carefully after they rose last month to a year-over-year pace of 2.5% from 2.3% in March. Now, before we get to the jobs report, April data on personal income and spending as well as inflation are scheduled on Tuesday. The spending report is expected to show a strong rebound in April, while the headline personal consumption deflator is also expected to jump on strength in gasoline prices. According to AAA, the national average for price for a gallon of unleaded gasoline rose to $2.32 from $2.21 a month ago. Nevertheless, it remains well below the $2.74 price from a year ago. Other economic reports this week include home prices, ISM manufacturing, and service sector activity, construction spending, motor vehicle sales, and factory orders. The Fed also releases its Beige Book survey of economic activity in advance of its meeting on June 14th, 15th. Lastly, it may be worth noting for the contrarians that the weekly survey of the American Association of Individual Investors showed the lowest percentage of bullish investors in 11 years last week. A lot of people thinking we may have peaked. Just 17.8% of the survey's respondents described themselves as bullish, compared to a historical average of 38.5%. Well, with May performance almost in the books, month to date, the S&P 500 index is higher by 1.6%, while NASDAQ and Russell 2000 indices have gained 3.3% and 1.7% respectively. Information technology, financials, healthcare, well, they've led the markets higher during the month, while industrials, energy, and telecom have brought up the rear. Year to date, 8 of 10 S&P 500 industry sectors are higher, with utilities and energy and telecom, all better by over 10% in 2016. Overall, the S&P 500 index is trading at 16.7 times forward earnings and sits just 1.5% off its record high reached May 21st, 2015. In our view, stocks are not expensive, but they are also not cheap based on recent earnings results. Earnings season, well, it's now behind us with first quarter earnings per share demonstrating a 7% year-over-year decline. Further expectations for second quarter earnings per share see little room for improvement, with company earnings in the S&P 500 projected to dip 5% year-over-year and not return to positive territory until the third quarter. As we have talked about before on, well, economic and macro sectors may hold more sway on the market sentiment over the next few weeks. This week, the Federal Reserve is going to get another peek at the health of the labor market as well as personal spending and PMI data, all before the highly anticipated June 14th to 15th FOMC meeting. And, you know, this is the full meeting. Next month, they're not having a full meeting, so people are beginning to think there's an increased expectation that they may raise in June. Over the last 2 weeks, expectations have risen for that potential rate hike due to more hawkish comments from Fed officials recently. On Friday, Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen reinforced those hawkish comments by stating it would be appropriate to raise interest rates gradually and cautiously over the next few months if the economic data was supportive. Now, markets are now pricing in a 28% probability of an interest rate hike in June and a 61% chance in July. Just a few weeks ago, investors saw little probability of hikes in either June or July. In our view, investors have started to price in higher rates in a rather orderly fashion thus far, and Fed officials seem to be taking the opportunity to systematically and gradually prepare markets yet again for interest rate normalization. Now, it remains to be seen if markets can avoid the tantrum it had during the beginning of the year and against a more stable backdrop of oil prices and global growth. The June 23rd Brexit vote, well, that will also provide a near-term test for recent market strength as well as the potential opportunity to remove another macro uncertainty for investors. In our opinion, markets have started to price in not only a rate hike in July, but that the UK will remain in the European Union after the Brexit vote, and that's based on recent polling data. Outside of the questionable earnings and profit strength coming from U.S. corporations this year, the macro environment could produce a new near-term tailwind for markets over the next several weeks if everything goes according to script. Asia-Pacific, equities traded mostly higher in the overnight session. Shanghai Composite was higher by 3.3%, as reports suggested the probability of Chinese stocks securing inclusion in MSCI's global index next month increased. However, the inclusion may only translate into a tiny $15 billion in A-share inflows, according to Reuters. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is expected to announce tomorrow that the consumption tax increase from 8% to 10% is going to be delayed until October of 2019, and that's probably extremely appropriate. The tax increase was expected to start in April of next year. Separately, Japanese industrial production in April rose 0.3%, better than the 1.5% decline that was expected. Eurozone, well, European markets are trading mostly lower as we head into the end of the session. May Eurozone flash CPI declined 0.1% year-over-year and was in line with expectations, while April unemployment held steady at 10.2%. Economic data has been heavy the last 2 days throughout Europe. Yesterday, final first quarter GDP in France was revised higher to 0.6% from the 0.5% preliminary reading, while many Eurozone economic sentiment improved month over month. On Thursday, the European Central Bank is expected to hold interest rates steady as it initiates its corporate bond buying program starting next month. So there's an awful lot of data since we had a long weekend here in the United States, but overseas, stuff is still being done and business is being conducted. Again, you're listening to Some Things About Money. This is Joe Patton, certified financial planner. with Patton Hiding Associates, a place where credentials matter and where people adhere to the fiduciary standard. Let's see, what else do we have going on? Before we go into our break, let's do an update. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 71.5 points, 0.4%. The S&P 500 is down a little bit over 3 points. The NASDAQ is up a little bit over 7. Talked about Europe being a little bit shaky. The FTSE down 0.5%. The DAX down a little bit, about 0.75%. And the CAC 40 down 0.6%. Oil still up 51 cents a barrel to $49.84 a barrel. And gold down 80 cents an ounce to $12.1590. 10-year Treasury yield still up for the morning, 1.8511%. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about things like when a 401k hardship withdrawal might make a little sense to you. And then we have that information about Brexit. And I know everyone's waiting for me to have a conversation about the IG report from the State Department and all of the stuff relating to Hillary's server and the lack of, let's just say, participation in the investigation by Secretary Clinton and her team. Not a good thing. And even Bernie Sanders is starting to comment. We'll be back.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Severe weather keeps pounding much of the central United States. Tornadoes ripped through parts of Nebraska and Colorado yesterday as driving rain sets off dangerous floods, including in already soggy Texas. At least 9 people die from flooding in the Lone Star State since last Friday. New York Senator Chuck Schumer is calling on the TSA to hire 600 new agents. We get details from Terry Sheridan.
Schumer says Congress needs to fund the 600 TSA positions and fund them now.
Once we get these agents, we're asking that a significant proportion of them be assigned to New York. We need them in the airports that are the most crowded and have the longest waiting times, and Kennedy, LaGuardia, and Newark are at the top of the list.
He also wants to redirect $28 million to upgrade 2,500 agents to full-time status. Schumer's request comes at the end of one of the busiest travel weekends of the year. Terry Sheridan, New York.
And this is USA Radio News.
I'm Sean Hare, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How could you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star, and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Good morning. This is Tony Clark, and this is Some Things About Money. It's 11:37 a.m. on Tuesday, May 31st, the day after Memorial Day. It is 84 degrees here in Flemington already, and it's only 11:30. And tonight we're going to have a high of 86 degrees, north winds 3 to 6 miles per hour. Mostly clear later on tonight with a low around 59, a calmer wind becoming north around 6 miles per hour after midnight. On Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 80, northeast wind around 7 miles per hour. And on Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 57. Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 76, and mostly cloudy Thursday night with a low around 59. Looks like some rain comes in over the weekend, but only 50% chance on Friday. And then on Saturday, a chance before 9 a.m., but partly sunny with a high near 79. Really good weather coming around for the next few days, Joe.
And, of course, none of us have a chance to go to the pool or the beach during that time because we have to pay attention to what's going on. Oh, good Lord, the humanity, these black swan events may threaten the world economy, according to Societe Generale. Really? Again, with the black swans? I'm so tired of black swans. I see swans all over the place. Yeah, I know. It's just crazy stuff going on. But it may be because of China data. We may get an overreaction to the Fed finally raising interest rates. And people will just go absolutely out of their minds over the fact that we are going to a normalization process, as if that's a terrible thing. You know, quite frankly, if they raise rates, some small business owners may actually be able to borrow money for expansion of their business. New businesses could get financing to get off the ground. More people would qualify for mortgages because the onerous credit rating requirements wouldn't be as severe. All of those terrible things might actually occur, and more people would have jobs, and more revenue would go to the government, and people would be buying more goods and services as the result of improved credit. Yeah, I could see where that would be a black swan event. Well, maybe not. Of course, I'm being facetious here. But then again, talking to friends over the weekend, it's still happening, folks. And it may be happening to you or one of your neighbors. Is Junior still living in the basement? That's the question at hand. And if so, you're not alone, and get used to it. You know, for the first time in more than 130 years, there were more young adults, and that would be ages 18 to 34, living at home with their parents at the end of 2014 than in their own home or with a spouse or partner. Source? Well, Pew Research study of Census Department data. Combine the above situation with the facts that the home ownership rate is currently a tenth of a percent above its record low, again, according to census data going back 48 years, and that home vacancy rates are at or near record lows as well, according to the Census Department. And yesterday's, last week's strong new housing data did not look as though it's likely to be an anomaly, in our opinion. Of course, monthly home sales and construction numbers will vary over time, but we believe the housing industry is still in the midst of a long-term expansion pattern driven mainly by demographic need. Builders completed construction on approximately 1.1 million new housing units in 2015. Demographics suggest that the United States needs at least 1.3 million new housing units a year, a housing unit being defined, including single-family homes as well as multi-unit structures such as apartment buildings or condos. With many of their competitors driven out of business during the downturn, surviving builders have been focusing disproportionately on the upper price points of the housing market over the past few years, where profit margins tend to be the highest. Now, with the higher segments now appearing to be well supplied in some markets or oversupplied, builders are slowly moving down the value scale where demand is very strong, yet supply still remains very tight. Last week, the Census Department reported new home sales jumping 17% month over month in April, while sales were 22% higher on a year-over-year basis. So get Junior out of the basement, and you know, I'm sure they're finding jobs now. Things are getting better for millennials. And have them do what we did. Go and buy a house. Condo will do. Yeah, we like that. So, what does happen the day after Brexit? Do we have any idea? Well, instead of arguing for or against British withdrawal from the European Union, we look at the likely outcomes if Brexit were to happen. Now, picture the scene. The voters have come in, you know, showing that the British really don't believe the strapline that Britain is stronger than Europe and the great debate about Brexit is over. Today is the first day of the next 2 years that will determine just how great and independent Britain really is. What will the UK's relationship with Europe look like? Well, this is a key question that will create a great deal of uncertainty that could result in a great deal of damage. This uncertainty stems from the conflicting demands the UK has from a relationship with the EU and the cost the EU would charge in exchange. The UK would favor an agreement that maintains easy access to European Union markets for UK businesses. They would favor, well, let's just say, having some control over the movement of people, addressing the current immigration concerns. The agreement would allow for deregulation, and it would have the ability still to vote in European Union decisions. However, this is a hefty wish list that has yet to be granted to any of the European relationships and is unlikely to be without considerable concessions by the United Kingdom. UK politicians would have to manage a trade-off between what was the best interest of the economy and how much political power they were willing to cede. Negotiations would be long and arduous, with enormous pressure to reach a swift agreement that all parties could accept, a task few would envy. In the meantime, let's turn to the financial and economic implications of Brexit over the next 2 years and beyond. Currency. Well, we believe that the British pound, which has already dropped 5 to 6% in the run-up to the Brexit vote, has room to drop another 12% further. Not a good thing. Interest rates, the Bank of England would undoubtedly push out the prospect of rate hikes and might even go as far as to cut rates as long as the pound was not in free fall. This easing would likely be mirrored by the European Union in the face of uncertain market conditions and losing one of the world's financial epicenters, and that would be the city of London. The economy, the European, the UK's primarily concern post-Brexit would be its high current account deficit and the foreign direct investment needed to fund it. Any disruption in the flow of FDI would be problematic to the UK, although it is still a substantial portion of FDI which originates from outside the European Union. One can only hope that this was not invested in the UK purely as a platform into the European Union. Markets within fixed income markets, UK gilts, those are bonds issued by the British government and generally considered low risk, could be seen as less of a safe haven due to the possibility that companies may move their headquarters elsewhere on fears that the Bank of England could struggle to maintain its grip on policy. However, the majority of gilt holders and UK pension funds and central banks, which are unlikely to leave the UK markets because of the Brexit decision, so they're fairly stable, not a big problem there. Within equity markets, different sectors would be impacted to varying degrees. Brexit is likely to have the biggest impact on banks, with retail, other financials, insurance, and property hit to a lesser extent. Utilities and large international companies are unlikely to encounter big moves, so not too bad there. And following in the UK footsteps, potentially the most pertinent issue is the risk that other countries could follow in the footsteps of a UK decision to leave the European Union. Scotland, well, their first minister, could rally the troops and have a new referendum to unite Scotland from, untie Scotland from the UK and get back into Europe. Though, don't know if the Europeans would want to take on an economy so dependent on oil when oil remains such an unknown quantity. Bottom line, overall, it's clear that the post-Brexit would have its challenges, with no similar event to review in history. It's not possible to know what would happen on day one. However, one thing is certain, all the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts. Now, how would the world react? Well, how the world reacts to Brexit, if in fact Britain decides to leave the European Union, who knows? Only time will tell. I don't think it's going to happen. I think that would be bad for the UK, but you never know. Tony, let's take one more break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about when 401k hardship withdrawals make sense.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton, Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we're back. You're listening to Some Things About Money. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, Patton, Knight & Associates. Check us out on our Facebook site, LinkedIn. Like us if you like us. Or you can call us at 908-713-6600 to get together for a conversation. Let's see, Tony, when a 401k hardship withdrawal makes sense. And generally, we are not proponents of these things for reasons that we've made clients aware of time after time after time. But many workers really count on their employer-sponsored 401k for the lion's share of their retirement funds, and that's why these accounts shouldn't be the first place you go if you need to make a major expenditure or you're having trouble keeping up with your bills. But if better options are exhausted, for example, an emergency fund or outside improvements, having your 401k may be worth considering. Most major employers allow for hardship withdrawals if employees meet specific guidelines. And in some cases, you can pull money out without paying the 10% penalty to the IRS, which is normally the case when you make a withdrawal from retirement funds before the age of 59 and a half. If your employer offers 401k loans, which differ from hardship withdrawals, borrowing from your own assets may be a better way to go. Under IRS guidelines, savers can take out up to 50% of their vested balance, up to $50,000. One advantage of a loan is that the plan participant isn't forced to pay income taxes on it that same year. In addition, the employee has to repay the loan within 5 years, ensuring that his or her retirement fund doesn't get depleted. But in certain circumstances, for example, if your company doesn't offer loans, a hardship withdrawal may make sense. In some cases, you will owe taxes, in others, you won't. Now, here are some of the rules that you need to know. Paying medical bills. Plan participants can draw on their 401k balance to pay for medical expenses that insurance doesn't cover. If the bills exceed 10% of the individual's adjusted gross income, the 10% tax penalty is waived. To avoid the fee, the hardship withdrawal must take place in the same year that the patient received medical treatment. So that's important. As with most hardship withdrawals, the amount you can take out is generally equal to the amount of your elective contributions, less any previous distributions. Now, what if you're living with a disability? Now, if you become totally and permanently disabled, getting access to your retirement account early becomes easier. The government allows you to withdraw funds before age 59 and a half without penalty. Be prepared to prove that you are truly unable to work. Disability payments from either Social Security or an insurance carrier usually suffice, though a doctor's confirmation of your disability is frequently required. Keep in mind that if you are permanently disabled, you may need your 401k even more than most other investors. Therefore, tapping your account should be the last resort, even if you lose the ability to work. Now, there are these things called substantially equal periodic payments, SEPs. If you've left your employer, the IRS allows you to receive substantially equal periodic payments penalty-free, though they are technically not hardship distributions. One important caveat is that you make these regular withdrawals for at least 5 years or until you reach age 59 and a half, whichever is longer. That means that if you started receiving payments at age 58, you have to continue doing so until you hit 63. As such, this isn't an ideal strategy for meeting a short-term financial need. If you cancel the payments before 5 years, all the penalties that were previously waived will be due to the IRS. Now, there are three different methods you can choose for calculating the amount of your withdrawals. First, it's fixed amortization, then there's fixed annuitization, and then required minimum distribution. A trusted financial advisor can help you determine which method is most appropriate for your needs. Now, regardless of which method you use, you are responsible for paying taxes on any income, whether interest or capital gains, in the year of the withdrawal. So it's just like taking money from anything else that's taxable. Separation of service. Those who retired or lost their job in the year they turned 55 or later have yet another way to pull money from their employer-sponsored plan. Under a provision known as separation of service, you can take an early distribution without worrying about the penalty. But as with other withdrawals, you have to be sure you can pay the income taxes. Of course, if you have a Roth version of the 401k, you won't owe taxes because you contributed to the plan with post or after-tax dollars. That's important. Okay, what costs the most, withdrawal for homes or tuition? Well, under U.S. tax law, there are several other scenarios where an employer has a right but not an obligation to allow for hardship withdrawals. These include the purchase of a principal residence, payment of tuition and other educational expenses, prevention of an eviction or foreclosure, and funeral costs. However, in each of these situations, even an employer even if the employer allows for the withdrawal, the 401k participant will be stuck with a sizable 10% penalty on top of paying ordinary taxes on any income. Generally, you want to exhaust all other options before taking that kind of hit. Huge, huge hit. Bottom line, if employees absolutely need to use their retirement savings before 59 and a half, 401k loans are ordinarily the first method to pursue. But if borrowing isn't an option, a hardship withdrawal may be a possibility for those who understand the implications. Take note of which situation would institute a 10% penalty and which won't. This may make the difference between a smart method of getting cash or a costly blow to your future retirement. So, you know, we've been guiding people through this process with their tax advisors for some time, especially folks who were being downsized from major corporations. And just know that it is available, but it's not the place you want to go to. It's not for your vacation. It's not for the new car. With all